live spine to speak with a clinician about your situation.
My spine!
Complimentary MRI review. That's 888-95-SPINE. Or feel free to visit online at sonospinesurgery.com. Don't miss out on life because of chronic pain.
Boxing, wrestling, and mixed martial arts. Your home for all things fighting is SiriusXM Fight Nation, Channel 90.
Dave LaGreca, Mark Henry, and I mentioned AEW, and they have their rally at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. And Dave Meltzer was saying that he didn't think a relationship with New Japan and AEW was going to work out. And
he said it as early as yesterday.
Yes, and then now he's kind of changing his tune. Dave Meltzer saying that there's a very good shot that New Japan will try to work something out with AEW, and that might mean keeping Kenny Omega with New Japan and being a part of AEW, because Kenny Omega seems to be a big key when it comes to not only long term for New Japan, but also I'm sure something that Cody and the Bucks want as part of AEW. If you watch Be Elite, Kenny Omega is a part of that. So
yeah, I mean, if you read the report from yesterday, Meltzer basically says that he believes that Ring of Honor and New Japan are going to keep their working relationship, and that may have cost them Kenny Omega, because Kenny wants to go to, it seems like Kenny wants to go to AEW, and if you, like you said, you watch Being the Elite this week, it looks like all signs are pointing that Kenny's going to go to AEW. Now he comes out and says that New Japan, having found out from that very interview we talked about yesterday, Dave, the one that you read the quotes from, that's how New Japan found out that Kenny was not going to re-sign with them after the Dome show.
Couldn't be happy.
That they're changing their tune a little bit and saying, hey, maybe we need to work with these AEW guys in a more official capacity. If it means if we don't, we might lose Kenny.
Yeah, and Mark, to your point earlier about AEW and Chris Jericho, New Japan, obviously after the matches that Jericho had in New Japan, Mark, you know, New Japan wants to keep Chris Jericho, and they want to do a Jericho versus Tanahashi, who's now your new IWGP champion, and have that be the match for next year's Wrestle Kingdom. It sounds like that Jericho's contract expired at the Dome, but Jericho, in his press conference, says he wants to stay. I'm sure New Japan wants him to stay. So, as we said earlier, Mark, Chris Jericho's in the driver's seat when it comes to AEW, New Japan, WWE. He could probably write his ticket for wherever he wants to go. And also, too, Mark, don't forget, Chris Jericho already announced that there's going to be Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, too. So I don't know if he'd have that kind of freedom if he's a part of the WWE.
Well, I mean, they're in Dev Code 5 right now. Like, you lose Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You have the potential to lose Kenny. And you have the potential to lose Chris Jericho. Like,
yeah,
that's too heavy a loss. So they, of course, you're going to make the announcement, you know what, we love to have a relationship with AEW. Because they don't want to lose everybody. And just what says that there's more people that won't leave? You know, you're going to be back in the States. You'll travel to do shows in Japan. So you'll be able to reconnect with all the people that you know, and I don't know. I think that this is a plea to try to keep people on board.
And Mark, you said it earlier. You said that New Japan made great strides, like with growth here in the U.S. over the last year. But think about it. Who are the main ingredients as far as mainstream names that probably a lot of wrestling fans knew that weren't familiar with New Japan? You had Kenny Omega. You had Chris Jericho. Don't forget, on Access TV, JR was the voice of New Japan on Access. Jim Ross is gone. Like you said, Cody is gone. There's the potential of Kenny Omega being gone. If you lose Chris Jericho, I would think, Mark, you're losing a lot of the momentum that we saw grow in 2018. And listen, you know, I'm a big JR fan. Having Jim Ross, the voice of New Japan on Access TV, was huge for New Japan because that was a voice that a lot of fans were familiar with and that missed. And you lost him to.
And he also familiarized the U.S. with the Japanese product.
Yep.
And just introducing all of those names and legitimizing guys, saying this guy's wrestled for 20 years, or this guy's wrestled the best guys, and told the story of who that person was, man, you lose that too? Wow. It's going to be hard to recover from.
Yeah, you look at the three main event matches that we saw at Wrestle Kingdom 13, the three matches that we saw replayed on Access TV that same night on Friday. You saw Cody and Juice Robinson, Cody Scott. Then you saw Chris Jericho and Naito. Jericho could be gone. And then you saw Kenny Omega against Tanahashi, and Kenny Omega's gone. You can't lose that much talent, especially when you're talking about the main event scene. Now you look at New Japan, and New Japan has a great working relationship.
I mean, Kushida's gone too.
But you look at AEW, to go back to Meltzer's reports, Mark, you look at AEW and the talent that they have. That's the talent you just saw at Wrestle Kingdom 13. The Young Bucks as well. You got to throw the Young Bucks in there. So if I'm in Japan, I don't want to lose my relationship with Ring of Honor, but I certainly want to have a relationship with AEW. And it's interesting right now, see where this goes. Don't forget that New Japan has a show with Ring of Honor at a sold-out Madison Square Garden in April. But I'm wondering, once we get past that show at Madison Square Garden, if New Japan had a choice and they had to choose between Ring of Honor and AEW, what New Japan's choice would be? It's an interesting question.
I mean, they could do both. Well, like, it's a different
question,
it's a different
answer.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to make people hold people up, or are you going to give them a product? And I think that with the money that's backing them, that's going to help make that decision. It's going to be less money for the production staff to have to foot all the bill if you got a billion-dollar company that's backing them. They're going to be able to make some production calls and decisions on their own. You're not going to foot the bill and then not allow...
You can do both and have it overlap, right? I mean,
so
fucking...
I think that the writing's on the wall.
You do that Ring of Honor deal until it makes sense to not do it, because what does Ring of Honor have to offer anymore?
Who's a billionaire? They have the rally this afternoon. And
they've already been raided quite a bit.
To see if there's questions answered when it comes to the future of AEW. We're going to be looking at that very, very closely, because the next couple of months are going to be very, very telling as far as events and possible TV and what other free agents are going to sign with that company. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. More on Hogan, more on AEW, and of course, we'll finish up with the Nation when Mark and I are back right here on Busted Open.
I mean, it seems like the way you would do that deal, right, is... You know, the ROH deal's already done, so whatever it is. But if you wanted to do a talent deal with those guys are out there, and they're going to be looking for exposure for themselves and their product. So them continuing to have some kind of limited relationship with another promotion, especially one in Japan, depending on, you know, what they're trying to accomplish with their own TV or whatever, makes sense. It keeps their names out there. Is a big ad for their new promotion, all that other stuff. So having that working relationship that's a talent deal of, hey, we're bringing Cody and Kenny and the Buck, you know, like whatever, we're going to bring them in for these New Japan shows, same as we always have. Like, they could very easily keep doing that. They just wouldn't appear, they probably wouldn't appear on co-branded Ring of Honor shows. Because if you were Ring of Honor, you would not want these AEW guys showing up on your shit and reminding people that they should probably start giving up on Ring of Honor, because, like, honestly, what does, you know, Ring of Honor doesn't seem like it's in a great place right now. I don't know. I don't watch it, but just looking at what's happened to them over the last year or so, that's the impression I get anyway. I'm sure the, you know, whatever, there are definitely people who can wrestle working there. I'm not saying, like, hey, it's bad or whatever, but like, you know, Ring of Honor's not sexy, if you will. And, you know, TNA is TNA, or, you know, whatever, Impact is what it is. It's not in an amazing place from the looks of things with their new TV deal, or lack thereof. But yeah, the idea of working out a deal to have some of those wrestlers continue to appear on New Japan events seems not difficult to do, as long as the appetite is there for it, as long as New Japan doesn't view it as a threat to, like, their expansion, which they may very well. I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of the people that would be going are the people that brought people to, in this country, brought people to watching New Japan. I'll say the only people, you know, obviously, like, people have connected with Okada and Tanahashi and some of these other guys, for sure. Suzuki. And, you know, and they've got Jay White, who's come a long way. And Juice, you know, who's got... Juice has that look of a dude... He's got the look of a dude who is big in Japan. He's the look and mannerisms of, I am the gaijin wrestler who is over in Japan. Ladies love cool Juice. This has literally, baby, he has super young, and I think it's really to take him seriously as this man, that they've, like, the whole switchblade. And in some ways, I think that actually is part of what makes it work, because it makes him seem like a psychopath, because he's got this, like, he's got these very soft features, soft facial features. But... but, you know, he's a knife pervert, whatever. I think he's good in the kingdom. Yeah, look. But Kenny Omega look in a way, he looks like a mini cleaner, almost. At times. But the AEW guys, man, they're set for a while. Like, you know, they're going to sign these multi-year deals, and we'll see how it goes, right? I mean, they got these guys to put up money, and we'll see if they'll be good, intelligent wrestling businessmen. This Tony Khan dude is just like Funny Mark. Like, is WWE going to be running, like, billionaire Tony skits in 6 months? No WWE to mention them on TV. That would be their dream. Big enough for WWE to take notice of them in that sense, but ultimately, will they be smart about it, or does this dude just have a lot of money and want to hang out with wrestlers? Because that feels like the difference between that thing being a going concern for a long period of time, or something where they signed a deal, they get the money out of this dude, and then, you know, 5 years later, they're back on the market doing something else. And we'll see. You know, yeah, Cody seems smart. Cody seems to have taken himself. Cody's done some very intelligent things with himself and his career and his character and all that sort of stuff. You know, getting out of the WWE and the things he's done since then. Like, I know he's got his detractors who say that, like, he's just not putting on good matches or whatever. I think his work is fine. Like, whatever, you know. But I think, like, what he's done to transform himself and the way he carries himself and all that other stuff, I think has been super smart. And he's turned himself into a much bigger deal, you know? He's made the brand, his brand, significantly more valuable. And then he has aligned himself with people who are also similarly shrewd and modern. They're modern in a way that wrestling isn't. I mean, that's like the true genius behind being the Elite. And it's amazing that they were allowed to do it, honestly. Like, whatever fucking holes they had in their contracts or whatever, to be able to, like, build their own brand both inside and outside of these fucking, you know, large wrestling, like, like wrestling companies in multiple countries, that they didn't see it. That they didn't see it coming. Is fucking kind of wild. Like, hell yeah, sure, yeah. If you guys, yeah, it, I mean, yeah, you guys just want to get over, fine, yeah. No, you got your YouTube series, whatever it is, I don't know. Do your thing. Or, you know, who knows, maybe even, I don't even know. Did any of those story bits have to get approved by New Japan or, you know, any of that other stuff? I don't know. I don't actually know what the answer is. But the idea that they were allowed to build their own separate channel and build their brand out from under these organizations, you know, that's something that I bet a New Japan or even a Ring of Honor or any of these people would probably never let happen again. Or it's something that they won't be able to stop people from doing because they don't have the money to lock people up. You know? But the YouTube series, the Being the Elite stuff, like, that's stuff that has been instrumental in getting those characters out there to a wider audience. And getting them out there more frequently than New Japan puts people out there, right? I mean, you know, New Japan runs its tours, does its shows, but it doesn't have weekly TV. It's not, you know, this constantly advancing storyline. You know, if you want to see what the Young Bucks are up to, like, that YouTube show became your best bet for seeing those characters on a regular basis. And if you are a money guy and you are looking at, like, the modern media landscape and you're looking at what WWE does wrong and you're looking at, like, the stuff that WWE does that just seems old and antiquated and old-fashioned and wrong, like, you're looking at something like Being the Elite and going, fucking, all right, these guys are onto something. They've figured a thing out here. That they've found a way to get to an audience in an authentic way. They're not talking down to them. They're not fucking feeding them just total fucking horse shit. Like, there's quality to it. There's some thought put into it, but also it comes off very off the cuff and real. Like, they work it well. And so you look at that and you go, like, man, if you could get some money behind this, could it go? Could it actually fucking go? And that's the bet they're fucking making, right? Is like, okay, we're gonna try and take the things you figured out in building this fucking brand on your own, and we're going to put a bunch of money behind it, get it a TV deal, and then you guys need to identify who the other people out there who you think can break through with this type of product, with this type of offering. Like, who else could we get that would do this? And I think that's where it gets weird, because I don't think there are a ton of people out there that you could plug right into what they're doing. And also, you know, and then it gets weird because it's like, okay, well, after this TV show is on the air, does the Being the Elite series continue? Are they just going to be booked in all the fucking top spots because they're the executive vice presidents of the fucking promotion? Because that's fucking bad. You know, wrestling's got a long story history of wrestler bookers doing doing good for themselves and bad for the overall business. So it's that shit's just fascinating, you know? Like they're like it's it's the equivalent of people quitting their job and starting a Patreon in a weird way, and then finding a bunch of money along the way. Or doing a Patreon on the side, and then suddenly that thing turns into their main thing. That's almost what they did. Or what they seem to be in the process of doing. I don't know. It's fucking fascinating to watch, though. But also, like, that's the danger, right? Is the stuff that makes... Well, the matches are good, right? But they're like the stuff that makes, I feel like, a lot of the stuff around Cody and the Bucks and them, like, really interesting to watch is the behind the scenes, the machinations of fucking the wrestling business. And the danger there is, like, you're cultivating an audience that wants it real, and those can maybe be harder storylines to write. Like, you know, if they're doing all this stuff and then they're like, yeah, we're launching this thing and this is our business thing, and then the storylines for their actual TV show are just some fucking corny ass wrestling shit, like, they're fucked. It's, you know, so you have to come up with ways to keep that feeling across every storyline you're running, right? If they're running, like, you know, like, what kind of roster are they going to need to have? Are they going to run like a 2-hour show every week or something like that? Like, how many people will they need? How many storylines will they need to have running at a time? How quickly will they burn through feuds? It just seems fucking hard. Because it's kind of the same problem that the Attitude Era ran into, is the problem in the Attitude Era, and I think the reason why people remember it so fondly and all that other stuff, because the storyline of the contracts and who was going where, the real life behind the scenes drama, was way more interesting than anything happening on Nitro. Like, you tuned into Nitro because you wanted to see what guy was going to make the jump, you know, and then eventually vice versa. And the storylines were good here and there, but, like, you go back and watch that stuff, like the Attitude Era, you go back and watch a lot of Raws from that era, it was fucking... There was a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of fucking bad TV in there. Same as there always has been. And so the Being the Elite stuff, like, reminds me of that in a way where, like, to me, the most interesting thing about all this is watching these guys who have led these wildly different careers and have come together under this banner of looking out for each other, you know, whatever the shit that they, you know, watching them succeed and now get to start their own company, that's way more interesting sounding than a fucking wrestling storyline. So I don't know how you keep that authenticity, how you keep that feeling while also booking a weekly television show or whatever else they end up doing as the roster expands. Because then suddenly it's not about being the elite. It's like a little web series about the six of them or the five of them, however many it ends up being on the other side of all this. Like, they've got bigger fucking fish to fry. If they, then they're like, okay, well, we need to work this new guy into this web series because that's how we introduce new characters to the TV show and this and that. And this, that gets very fucking weird fast, probably. And they probably thought of it. I don't know. They've probably at least got some form of a plan about how they would do it. I feel like so much of wrestling and so much of how you handle that stuff is determined by who signs the deal, who's injured, who's available, who's around. It's weird, but it's exciting. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm very excited to see what those guys end up doing. Because I think that they'll have a real shot at providing. Like, I feel like they've got the backing, and they've got some momentum in a way that I think will give them a leg up on companies that have been around in the U.S. for years. You know, like this feels instantly like it's on the way to becoming the number two in the States, anyway. Number three, I guess. You know, behind New Japan. But also, maybe they run it like a booking agency, too. Hey, we're going to sign all these people to deals, and then we are going to loan that talent out to whoever, and we'll get our cut. And we'll do our TV shows and our live event business and whatever, our occasional pay-per-views and that sort of shit. But also be totally open to, like, okay, we're, yes, we will absolutely send Page to Ring of Honor for a month, we'll cycle Kenny out to Japan for 2 months, like whatever it is, in lieu of a weekly TV show or they've got a big enough roster. It'd be hard to do medium to long-term talent loans if you were also trying to do weekly TV. Well, whatever, that would not be hard in any promotion in North America, I guess. It'd be hard to do New Japan and have people flying over there for whatever the tour is and then come back to make AEW TV or whatever it is. Well, if you're smart, that's the storyline. If you're smart, that's the storyline and you acknowledge it on AEW TV. But that all depends on what New Japan's ambitions are for being in the U.S. and what they can get away with there with their Access TV deal and all of their stuff already in place. It's a lot of fucking moving parts. But this seems like a ton of potential there. It seems like if you figure out like a pathway through all that shit, like I think there's real potential. Like there's an appetite for something else. And, I'm sure fans of, like, Impact or Ring of Honor or whatever would tell you that there already has been something else for a good long time, but it's not, there's some good stuff happening on Impact, I'm sure. I don't watch it regularly, but last time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is all right. Willie Mack seems cool. I don't really get the whole Eli Drake thing. He seems fine. But I guess, before I had seen him do stuff, I had him, feel like I read someone say, like, that guy, he could be like John Cena big. I'm like, I don't know. Like, he seems good, and he seems charismatic. But then you see that bit of him talking a bunch of shit in the ring. This is a video clip I saw a couple days ago. He's talking a bunch of shit in the ring about how he's hardcore, and then the lights go out, and Tommy Dreamer shows up. Or no, Tommy Dreamer runs out, and then the lights go out, and then Raven shows up, and then the two of them beat up Eli Drake a little bit, and the whole thing. I mean, you know, maybe that's not on Drake. Maybe that's not on him. Maybe that's the... what they were hitting him with did not look very good. But I think there's a hunger for a big alternative. Not a little alternative, because those exist. I think there's hunger for a domestic WCW size, something that might actually compete, something that you can look at and go, this might actually grow, this might actually make it. And I think that's the potential right now. Whether they can realize all that potential, I don't know. But like that's the sort of thing where I feel like that ship has sailed for Impact. Like, that's not, you know, it would take a lot for them to suddenly be back in that conversation of just like, oh, well, you know, just Impact and WWE, they're neck and, you know, they're right there. Like, no. No. I don't know. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see a real contender. In like the North American wrestling scene. In like an organization that actually is big enough and has momentum enough and has enough backing to give it a real shot. And if nothing else, then you get, you know, it's the sort of thing that'll help make WWE, you know, wake them up a little bit along the way. If suddenly there's, like, competition, like, meaningful competition for talent out there. And also, you know, meaningful competition for just like, hey, here's a wrestling program on TV. If they can draw an audience. That seems like the hard part. You know, because, like, does this... Well, I guess if it gets on television and you know, there's maybe some momentum there. If they get a good TV deal and get a good push there, that maybe that'll help. But, like, you know... How many YouTube subscribers does Being the Elite have? How many people are signed up for New Japan's streaming service? Like, what's the actual appetite out there for alternative wrestling? And by that I mean an alternative to WWE, not like, you know, necessarily a dramatically different product or whatever, but like, what's the appetite out there for non-WWE programming? Because if you know, you look at Impact, you know, that's not a... If you look at the other recent contenders or the recent players in the market right now, your answer would be like, eh, maybe not that much. But if you're putting on TV on a night that WWE does not have programming, really running against, like, I don't know, NXT 205, you know, whatever ends up being on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, whatever it was. Was it Tuesday Night Dynamite or Thursday Night Dynamite? I forget what it was. Anyway. You know, how much of that WWE audience could you bring over? Or what would it take? Because, you know, you'll get a diehard fan base, right? If you get those names, if you get the Young Bucks, if you get Kenny Omega, Cody. But really, Kenny and the Bucks, probably. You've got a diehard fan base that feels like they want this to succeed, and so are probably more likely to evangelize it to their friends than if it was any other just like startup wrestling promotion. You're like, no man, these guys are taking on the big guys. You gotta watch this. This is like the guys you see on TV are the guys doing it. That's, you know, they're the guys trying to do it. It's totally different. It's, you know, like if you've got that crowd, that diehard crowd evangelizing it to a wider fan base, then maybe that's where you grow. Better shirts. If you think about it, the whole thing, like, I feel like the rocket ship there was the fucking Bullet Club logo, and how it was a good ass fucking logo, and how it was good ass merch, and that made people want to be a part of it and spread the word and all that sort of stuff. Those Elite shirts they're selling now with the animals, not going to do it. Not going to get that done. That was maybe the good thing, or one of the best things about those Bullet Club shirts, is that they ended up being highly visible in a WWE audience. They stick out. You see them. It's the same thing the NWO shirts did. Which is silly, because they're just fucking black on white shirt, or, you know, white on black shirts. They're not fancy, but they stood out. I mean, wasn't that the story that the WWE brought in the buyer for Hot Topic into one of their events, and that person saw all the Bullet Club shirts out in the arena and said, we got to get some of those. And WWE would be like, that was not one of ours. Oh, geez. That was how the story went anyway. But, you know, they did their Funko Pops deal. They did, you know, they did... merch deals that seem unheard of in a sense for like a Japanese wrestling company in the US for, you know, for characters who are not wrestling on American television all that often, and, you know, like, all that sort of stuff. Like, they've broken through in some really fascinating ways. Like, that's, like, it's like case study type stuff that you could do around self-branding and all that other stuff. But, like, in some ways, it almost feels like maybe they learned from a case study. Maybe they just fucking picked it up from YouTube. They saw how stuff was going and just played that game well. And built their own brand underneath someone else's brand. And then found ways to separate from the brand they didn't own. I don't know. It's, yeah. Like I said, it's a really interesting series of developments that like are interesting in ways that are much larger than I think just like, hey, someone's starting a wrestling company. Stuff like that first time I, you know, the maybe like the first Wrestle Kingdom I watched, which was the first one that they simulcast in the US a few years back, and saw Anderson and Gallows with all their Bullet Club shit and all that. Like, that was maybe the first time since formation of the Nexus that I felt the need to tell someone who wasn't into wrestling about a wrestling thing. It's like, no, man, I saw this thing the other night. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, one of them's Luke Gallows. I know. I didn't think. Yeah, I know. Festus, I know, yeah.
XR.
Sirius XM Fly.
It's what your connected home devices.
Bust it, bust it, bust it, bust it. I done came up on a bag, bitch. I know you mad cause I came up on a bag, bitch.
I need the chicken, hey. I need the bread, that's why I'm working. Hey, and I'm the band. Cause you're in the bed, bitch, you're sleeping. Hey. Fuck is he thinking? Where is he going? Then they'll be mad. Hey. Bring it on me. Hey. Look at this, I'm so they can count on wax. Let's get a little drip drop. Put this pussy on wax. Took me straight to the drip top. I'm in race with the rave. Hey. Ain't no space in the stage. Hey. Next bitch in my face. Hey. Catch a case, catch a case. Hey. But anywho, anywho. Hey. Breaking back.
me do my thing. Move that thing, mommy, move that thing. Move that thing, mommy, move that thing. Do your thing, let me do my thing.
Your sign language from me.
This is the week that everybody came back to work, I guess, because traffic is fucking back. All these fucking cars. Also, it's raining. It's all bad. Bitch. All right, I'm here. I'm gonna go. See what the day holds. Have a good one.